come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
And once again, you've stumbled onto the darkest corner of the internet, the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, coming to take over your world. Every Saturday night, we watch a movie right here in the dark, dank basement confines of this screening room. It's dark. We gather around a bar, drink ourselves silly, and talk to you about it for your education and listening pleasure. Tonight, you're listening to the internet radio superstars.
We were almost just the radio superstars there for a minute.
This is Brent.
It's Sean.
Travis.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched, it was my pick, and we watched. Oh my God.
What did we watch, Colin? What did
Hammer
we watch?
Hammer Films, The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, which may be known as The Seven Brothers Meet Dracula, depending on where.
That's where I first heard it, yeah. Well, that's what actually, Dollar US. Video, the place where you worked, had Seven Brothers Meets Dracula on VHS.
I've never actually seen that version, but they said...
Is it a different version? Is that just a different title?
No, it's like 10 minutes shorter, and scenes have been rearranged.
I can see why.
Oh, yeah.
The hell?
Might be good.
Well, I've been told that it's incomprehensible, so we're watching the one that supposedly
so we got the
10 sense.
Minutes.
So we watched the hensible one.
Clears everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is still pretty... I mean... Not a lot happens in this movie. I mean, there's a setup of an idea. First of all, let's talk about the history a little bit. Just a little history we
Hammer,
know.
Hammer.
And Shaw Brothers.
Yeah, I know.
Shaw Brothers that is like, you know, Enter the Dragon and, you know.
Well, all right, so,
the big Bruce Lee movies.
Well, I can do Hammer Films if you got Shaw Brothers.
Not really. That's what I know.
Well, Hammer Films. Okay, so
I just said what I
do. Kung Fu movies, Bruce Lee. You know, right? Shaw Brothers looks like the WB logo, right?
Yeah.
And then that's why on Kill Bill, Quentin Tarantino put the SB on the front of Kill Bill. Shaw Brothers.
Who are the Shaw Brothers?
These two Chinese guys.
Run Shaw and.
So
Walk Shaw?
Run Me Shaw.
Run Me
Shaw.
Really?
Run Me Shaw. Wow.
Yeah. So I was looking. So Run Shaw, who just died this past year.
He
produced 1,000, it says, Kung Fu films.
Damn.
In China. 1,000. And he also did Blade Runner.
What do you mean he did Blade Runner?
Producer.
Really?
On Blade Runner.
Really?
And, because I was looking down, like, the 1,000 movies or whatever on the IMDb.
Pick up the five,
like,
I know.
What the? But he also did Cleopatra Jones and the Casino of Gold.
Hell yeah, I love my Cleopatra Jones. Damn, I love her.
So the Shaw Brothers, they made thousands of Kung Fu movies in China, and this movie came along at a period in time where Hammer Films from Britain was on having declining fortunes. So we got to set this up.
Because Christopher Lee was done being Dracula.
Yeah, okay, so what, I mean, aside from this, where do you guys know Christopher Lee from?
From Dracula.
Or Star Wars.
No, that's Peter Cushing.
But Christopher Lee's in
Star Wars. Okay, the original or the new ones.
Yeah. And I thought you'd go with Lord of the Rings because he's Saruman. And...
Yeah, I've seen him before that, though.
Yeah.
Something.
Or Gremlins 2.
Yeah, right. Gremlins 2 is probably where I first saw it.
All right, so Christopher Lee, right? The way that this company got its start was in 1957, they got the idea that, like, hey, it would be cool if we remake these black and white Universal horror movies in color.
Color.
And so they made The Curse of Frankenstein. And they brought in Peter Cushing to play Dr. Frankenstein, and they brought in Christopher Lee to play the monster. So Christopher Lee was a nobody, basically. He'd been, like, bit parts and all this other stuff. But he was a nobody. And so in the movie, he has, like, no lines, and
he's in a Twilight Zone episode. Christopher Lee. Yeah, he's in a really good Twilight Zone episode.
That would have been 60s?
Was it in the 60s?
I want to say, right?
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah. 60, I mean, whatever, this is 57, so this is like...
Did he do radio? Didn't he do some radio stuff before Hammer? Didn't Christopher...
Probably. I mean, theater, some, you know, film, obviously, but not... I mean, like, you know, he wasn't the Christopher Lee.
Right.
So Hammer says, you know... Curse of Frankenstein became such a big hit that they had to follow it up, and the logical succession then is you do Dracula. in 58. And that becomes like a huge thing. So Christopher Lee is Dracula and Peter Cushing is Van Helsing.
And so it was to be.
So this spawned a flurry of movies. Like, they were producing these things. I want to say for, it's like 20 fucking years. These two guys, right?
Really?
Well, to be fair, Christopher Lee was only in the Dracula movies. And not all of them. And Peter Cushing was in all the Frankenstein movies. He was Dr. Frankenstein. And he was in a lot of the Dracula films. So I actually made a list. So I want to just tell you what the titles are and go down here and see when these guys matched up. But after Dracula, they did The Brides of Dracula. Cushing's in it. No Christopher Lee. No Dracula, right? And then, so this is 10 years later in 66, Dracula, Prince of Darkness has Christopher Lee in it. He comes back to the part. Dracula has risen from the grave. Taste the Blood of Dracula. I love the title of that one. Fantastic. The Scars of Dracula. Dracula AD 1972, which they bring Dracula into the modern day.
Oh, yeah.
The 70s.
Which is great. Very groovy.
Yeah.
It is pretty.
Sounds groovy.
It's a trip.
That was the one I was actually considering. Like, tonight was either.
That was my introduction to the Christopher Lee Hammer. Was
you should have picked that one.
Yeah. It was because this does not have, even as much as we're fucking talking about Christopher Lee, he is not in this movie.
He's not in this.
Well, because the Freak Show's first fucking Hammer Dracula movie, and we did the one without Christopher Lee.
Well, I was sitting there thinking about it.
Didn't we watch one before?
We watched Captain Kronos,
Vampire
Hunter, which is the one. If you haven't seen that, that's one of the best representations, I think, of like a Hammer film.
But no Dracula.
No Dracula. Yeah. That's just because they did other vampire movies. Vampire Circus. They did all the like Vampire Lovers, Twins of Evil.
Vampire Lovers.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're all over the place. But they fought. So Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing were in the same movie in Dracula AD 1972. So that was the first one that they had been Van Helsing and Dracula since 57. And then they followed that up with Satanic Rites of Dracula, which is a direct sequel, takes place in the modern day. And after that, Christopher Lee was basically like, okay, I'm fucking done with this shit. Like, I know you're going to keep on making them. Because Christopher Lee, like, the impression that I get about this guy is, like, he's, like, this distinguished British gentleman, right? A theatrical actor, you know, like a serious guy. And he knew Dracula, the novel, and had read it. And it was like, you know, I love this character and all this. But the movies that Hammer wanted to make were like, he would just, I mean, you've seen these, Travis. I mean, like, he shows
he would,
up.
Like, hiss.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I always heard that's because he didn't want to read dialogue.
Yeah,
so
he said,
the
lines that you're giving me are the character are so crap that, you know, I'm just going to stand here and glare.
Right.
So well, what about him, he's silent.
Earlier we were talking about the one where he just counts. When someone gets murdered, he'll step out and be like, one. And supposedly, I mean, I haven't fucking seen it because it sounds retarded, but I mean, supposedly that's all he says the whole movie. He just counts, right?
I think maybe he says other stuff. He talks again. Like, I remember he talks in Scars.
Your guys' DiCaprio impressions are spot
on. Right?
Yeah.
That's a beach call.
From the beach, yep.
Deep cut.
Pardon me.
Of our own fucking
of the
show.
One we did last week.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he does talk in Scars of Dracula. He talks in Dracula AD 1972 and maybe in Satanic Rites. I can't remember, but it's not a good movie.
What I want to know about the Seven Golden Vampires, that's what this movie's called, right? Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. We just watched it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to think, who the fuck is the audience for this? And I'm thinking, was this specifically made for an American audience? Is that who Hammer's going for? Because it's like, obviously, the kung fu craze is
Bruce Lee.
Well, yeah, it's Bruce Lee, but the money is coming from New York, Harlem, or whatever, right? We're, you know, that's the audience of all these Shaw Brother movies America.
The Grindhouse theaters.
The Grindhouse theaters.
Yeah.
And then also the Hammer. So I'm thinking, it's like, so since they had no Mars, since they were running low on money or whatever the fuck's going on with those guys, it's like, is this their answer to, like, make something exclusively for an American market? That way you get, here's your Hammer Dracula movie and your fucking kung fu movie.
Well, it was definitely that. I mean, like, and I know I've read ahead. Nick Hammond also commented on this, but this is seriously what I thought of it. This is before Star Wars. So this is the equivalent of sending your character to space, right? This is Dracula going to space.
Kung fu, Dracula kung fu.
So we'll send him to Asia.
Yeah, Asia. The weird culture. Don't eat that.
But I think, you know, just looking at the timeline, and again, I think maybe there was, I think this was made in 74, but I don't know if it was released in 74. I think it sat on a shelf for a couple of years because of the financial issues involved. Because Hammer, I want to say, made one more movie after this, which was To the Devil a Daughter. Yeah, we're not sure about Captain Kronos, where that fit in there. But I know To the Devil a Daughter was the last thing they did because, you know, the interest in the public had shifted away from gothic movies and monsters and vampires.
See, I always said that's why they did Captain Kronos, because it was supposed to be like that Marvel Comics version of a vampire movie, and, you know, because they were trying to retire the gothic thing.
I think they were just trying to do something new, right? I mean, like, because they'd done, I mean, how many, you've got at least, what do we say, it's seven Draculas, seven Frankensteins,
right?
A bunch of mummies. I think there's at least three or four movies that they did with the mummy. They had one werewolf movie. I mean, there's
Jason in space era with the, you know, it's one of those things. Because, I mean, the Hammer resurgence was like the second resurgence of horror, right? You had the Universal 30s. You had the Hammer of the 50s and 60s.
In color, where you can see color for the first time. Red blood. Which I think,
and
like,
boobs.
It's hilarious. You go
lots
back and look
boobs.
At, well, they didn't get into that until the 70s. But right? that did become a part of their
thing. Cleavage, at least.
Oh, I mean,
they're just like... Poor man.
Well, they had like, and this is kind of why I liked the studio, but it was interesting. They would they find an ingenue, right? That they discover Caroline Monroe. Or, like, there's all these
Buximus.
Girls. They bring them in, and Raquel Welch.
Scream!
What was it? Oh God, it's like
Raquel Welch.
Not This Island Earth. What's the fucking thing called? The 40,000 BC. That's a Hammer movie. Is it the right 50,000?
Oh, you're talking about fuck, what was it called?
It's like 50,000 years BC.
Is that the one where she's in the get up?
Yeah.
The famous.
Was it when women had tails?
No, the better one. It's a pretty decent movie.
When women had tails.
It's the poster that
she's
in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The famous poster where she's got the.
Yeah, the 10 million BC.
Yeah.
10 million BC.
Right?
God damn it.
Who's Cam Google here?
It's one of those.
Just look at it.
I think it's like 50,000 BC.
Hey, I thought it was 10 million BC.
Raquel Welch.
Raquel Welch. Okay.
Yeah. But they would find these girls, and then they would, like, you know, publicize the fact that they were going to be in Hammer's next movie and get them, like, the Playboy contract at the same time. So when the movie came out, they were in Playboy magazine.
Yeah, it's like having your centerfold and the – I think it's a great model.
Yeah, they did that for like 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, wrestling took that over at some point. They bring in a new, like, woman wrestler, and she's in Playboy. It's like, hey, here's a way to introduce you, which I think is a great model. More companies should adopt this.
Yep. Before Playboy went to become what it is today, as I was writing.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Just the articles. What the fuck? It used to be a joke.
Died. It used to be a joke.
Anyway. So.
Well, Christopher Lee got out of the game, I think, because. I guess, you know, this is why we need to talk about the era that this is happening.
1 million years.
Damn it all to hell.
Was down by a zero.
So Christopher Lee, it's at this point, I want to say 72 or something, got offered The Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
So he got to, like, leave.
See a bitches, Bond villain.
Genre horror, and actually, like, I'm going to be typecast. I'm going to go off and do, you know.
The other Bond bad guy role.
Yeah,
the other
Hollywood
villain
is calling.
In black.
But you also had 1973 was the release of The Exorcist. 1974 was the release of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. 1973 was also the release of Enter the Dragon. So you kind of had, like, you know, you're at the end tail end of, like, that kind of old world gothic universal, you know, whatever, the gothic monster.
And England wouldn't even see those American horror films for whatever the hell because of the Gories or whatever the hell they were called, right?
Yeah,
eventually. Is that what that list was called? The Gories? Yeah, Video Nasties.
Yeah.
In the 80s. But, yeah, so they were, I think, you know, audiences are just kind of sitting there going, like, well, you know, we've just seen this girl turn into a demon and vomit pea soup all over this priest. You know, the Frankenstein and Dracula movies are starting to look a little passe. And on the other hand, you've got the Bruce Lee phenomenon. And I think that was worldwide. I think, like, when by the time Enter the Dragon came around, he was a huge, I mean, I think it's hard to estimate at this point in time how big Bruce Lee was when he came, you know, when that came out in 73. I mean, it's like everybody knows who he is kind of thing. Mm. And so I think Hammer being desperate, you know, instead of, you know, again, we don't have the space movie, so can't send Dracula to space. We send him to the Orient where he's going to encounter martial arts vampires and take that Bruce Lee audience or whatever, the grindhouses of the world, you know, would the Hong Kong movie enthusiast, because this is a new thing. We want more of it. Well, what better to do it than mix British horror?
Right.
Yeah.
It's really that like, audience, this audience.
It's really like taking a Kung Fu movie and just bookending it with British horror, because they really, I mean, a lot of this is like, okay, we don't have Christopher Lee. What do we do? Dracula possesses some fucking Chinese guy at the very beginning of the movie. Brilliant. I'm writing. Keep going. Keep talking.
At six, seven. Seven brothers.
Seven brothers.
And their one sister.
They had to come from the Shaw brothers. They had to be like, make it seven brothers. Yes. That means something to us. I don't know.
Seven brothers, seven vampires.
Some shit. Which I actually like, okay, at the beginning of this movie, when Peter Cushing, Van Helsing, is explaining, which, why the fuck is Van Helsing, a British dude, explaining Chinese vampire myth to a bunch of Chinese professors, even? They were Chinese professors.
Were they? I thought they were students.
Well, no, because he was trying to convince other professors to help him, like, start vampire studies or some shit. That's what I thought he said. Yeah. Come on, you watch this.
It's kind of like that.
So he's
this been, is the second time I've seen this.
He's been off, and the timeline doesn't match up, I don't think, either, because I think like the vampire, the Dracula movies take place in like, what, 1800s?
It was 1804 at the very beginning of the movie.
Through 1972 or 3 or whatever, I mean, he fights Dracula in 1972, so.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, he does? That was like, when the movie came out, that was present?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dracula shit. Now. Yeah, okay.
I thought we were stuck in like 19.
Next, we'll do Dracula.
Wow. Was that his
72?
Yes, his son. Please.
Yeah, it was Laura Marvin.
Oh, but not in this movie.
Right.
Okay. I was thinking it was in this.
Oh, no. This movie, yeah. This was 1904.
Okay.
But yeah, so Van Helsing, having fought Dracula many times in the past, is now recruited to go to China to study vampirism, Chinese vampirism, the different types of Chinese vampires.
Because he knows European. He's got kind of those rules down, and he studied that. But now he's moving off to further his studies, and that's why he kind of – I think that's why he joined up at the university. He's like, I'm here. I've come here to study and to further my knowledge and to share it with you. Please let me. And they're like, you're insane.
We don't fucking believe in vampires, asshole.
Except one guy.
Yeah, the one guy that
the one brother
looks through the window of the door, longingly, and then sneaks in through a window in his house. Ironically enough,
because
Van Helsing has a story about a farmer, like back in the day that stopped. Because the story is Dracula has to go raise the seven golden vampires.
Actually, I don't know why Dracula.
That's what I'm saying.
Ka has lost the power to summon, or he's lost the power to control his vampires. This now, therefore, the villagers.
Well, I think
don't,
the vampires
like,
were
bow to
dead
him.
Or something. He's like, we once fucking ran the goddamn show with the seven vampires, but now we don't anymore. I need you, the master vampire, to come resurrect these guys.
Them, yeah.
That's what, like, when I first saw this movie, I'm like, that's a better fucking movie than this movie. Like, the movie, Peter Cushing's Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires is the movie we should be fucking seeing, about Dracula going to raise the seven golden vampires, and then you got the a farmer dude who a bunch of girls get
his daughter, I'm guessing, is one of them.
There's a farmer.
In the backstory, the farmer's daughter is kidnapped. She's one of the seven tied down around the golden vampires, and he goes in there and he tries to rescue her, and then with a garden hoe, he unplugs one of the vampires and he starts smoking.
Oh God, that was awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I didn't say it wasn't.
How did they do that? Like. A lot of hoses.
Well, he runs around with like untethered and is like spraying smoke out of him.
Probably just got one of those stupid little like fall thing, you know, where you get it 4th of July, just light it and fucking put it in his goddamn.
Put a hole in your stomach.
Yeah, just Put it in there. Film.
That's a simple explanation. It's probably true.
We're going to start a small fire in your clothes. Right. Don't worry.
As soon as it goes out,
you'll be fine.
It starts smoking. You put it in.
Right.
Yeah. You don't light it, then put it in the clothes. You light it, wait for it to start smoking.
They're Asian. They can come up with that shit. They invented fireworks.
They did invent fireworks.
So they come up with something that just smokes.
We know.
We can do this.
So
they're Asian,
and like each vampire has a bat amulet that signifies I am a golden vampire. You can tell by my golden
bling
bat.
That's why I always love it when
that's kind of cool.
When the bad guys in these movies have these, you know, things
power amulets.
Power, like, because I just try to imagine which one of them made it. Where did they get these things? How did they come to have these?
What did Harry Potter call them? Talismans? Horcruxes or some shit?
Yeah, Horcruxes.
Horcrux.
That story is a little bit. It's something that, it's a thing going on here,
right?
It's a thing of power.
And there's
that
seven.
There's seven
Horcruxes in the books.
The vampire souls are in the
Because
even if you kill them and they deteriorate.
Same thing with Dracula, right? That's why you
can be reincarnated if they have the thing.
If you find Dracula's cape or his fucking ring, you can always reincarnate Dracula. As long as you have one article of his fucking clothing,
his dried
blood, his medallion,
throw the dust out,
medallion.
Yeah,
you gotta get his medallion, signet
ring, and medallion.
Bring him back,
cape. It worked every
time. Bring back Dracula.
Well, that's because I sat there at one point and watched Dracula movies in a row, and the thing that you get out of it is he's built up as this the all powerful. Prince of Darkness.
Master of Evil.
Oh, yeah.
But in each movie, if you watch it a short, compressed period of time, you're looking at, some idiot brings him back to life and pledges his allegiance to Dracula. Mm. Dracula says, basically, you go out and get, people for me so I can feed. And then the rest of the movie takes place with the people going out and, bringing other folks back to the where Dracula's at and trapping them.
Castle Dracula.
And then he gets killed. So within a 2-day period of being resurrected, he's killed again.
I'll be back
until 10 years later or whatever. Some other idiot comes along and resurrects him. Yeah, Lord of Evil can't survive.
He lives
two days at a time.
Every 10 years,
it's
he
very
comes
disappointing.
Back for a short period.
He terrorized our village.
Stay inside.
Yep, we remember the day.
He terrorized our village for 6 hours. It was horrifying.
48 hours.
He tortured us.
That makes sense, right? It's
So the vampires, we established that if you cut them, it's just that one guy lets the smoke out of them, which was pretty cool, but they didn't really follow up on that. But the vampires are somehow able to also summon
Dracula
horde.
Does it
not right now necessarily possessing Ka, this priest or whatever.
Ka. Yeah, he's a vampire priest, I guess.
Yeah,
a Chinese vampire.
He's their
priest,
handler.
Of course.
Yeah.
He possesses this guy's body, so then he resurrects.
Yeah, they didn't explain that. He, for some reason,
Chinese vampire.
Dracula says he's stuck there. Why can't you leave your own fucking castle? Stay there, Dracula.
I feel like he doesn't have the power to leave.
But,
I don't know why.
But just looking like.
Has beat him in the past.
But just.
This doesn't happen in a movie.
Maybe, I just don't I was like, this happened in the last movie. He said something about how he. Anyway,
I'm sure if you played a video game, his power bar is in red right now.
Yeah.
It's the only way he can leave his area.
But it's just if I look like you, I can leave. It's like, okay, I don't see why.
I think being possessing,
it's tricking the magic.
Energy, use your energy to leave.
Is the whole daylight thing still an issue? I didn't even notice.
Well, he does say something about, I want to be able to walk the world again, or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also, too many fucking people, there's toys in me, goddammit. I need to get rid of this black fucking cape, and people know who I am. They're
lipstick.
Dracula's coming. Kill him. He's easy to kill.
This movie, Dracula, is not this is no Christopher. The guy's name, I wrote it down. I didn't. It's John Forbes Robertson.
John Forbes Robertson.
He played the vampire in Vampire Lovers. You remember the guy who went down the hillside or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Who was apparently the father of Carmilla or whatever?
He got on the horseback?
Who's seen Vampire Lovers?
I got my hand up.
Vampire Lovers.
Too. Yeah, because it's awesome. Because Ingrid Pitt you know, she does the whole time. Fantastic.
The whole time.
Explain it to the audience.
And Madeline Smith.
We're going to be mature enough to.
Did we watch this?
There is a scene in the hotel, one of the rooms where, like, bathtub? She's in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one comes in. It's the whole thing.
Oh, this is the one at the hotel?
With the couple.
No, yeah. No, you're thinking Daughters of Darkness.
Oh, Daughters of Darkness. I don't think I've seen Vampire Lovers.
This is very Hammer.
Yeah.
And it is Hammer, right?
Peter Cushing's in it.
Yeah.
Of course it's a Hammer.
Of course it's a Hammer movie.
Directed by Roy Ward Baker, who also directed The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires.
Oh my god.
All ties together.
Which I don't think he... I don't know. It feels like a... There's a lot of that... Kung fu fucking quick zoom.
Yeah.
That it seems like... it just doesn't seem like the English touch. It seems like some Chinese guy. Like, I really think the... Hammer's just passing a movie off to the shop
and used at inappropriate times.
Either like, that or they bought a movie from the Shaw Brothers and just put Peter Cushing in it. Because the white people don't interact at all.
I mean,
this didn't happen. You could tell they're in the same scene.
The white people, the English people,
the Brits.
There's two interactions.
They're just like, my word.
There's like three interactions in this movie. The first two are the two couples that are trying to get together.
Oh, yeah.
The interracial couples.
But that's still about as warm as, you know, I mean, a cold winter's night.
You got Peter Cushing and Chang.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah,
is that his name?
Is that the couple?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's what most of this movie consists of. It just consists of scenes where they talk about vampires and who his brothers are.
And then finally at the end you have like Peter Cushing and Dracula. Like for a moment where they're like, yes, remember me? I'm Dracula. And then there's like some, you know.
You won't stop. Oh!
by that point, we're like, this movie is over. Like we knew the timing, the running time.
Yeah, we did check the time on this movie.
And then about 2 minutes, there wasn't going to be a big battle. I mean, it's not like by today's standards, there'd be another half hour where they'd fight each other and beat each other's ass.
Yeah. Right.
They'd be flinging shit at each other. And
he would have turned into a bat at least twice.
But the biggest, I mean, like, if you want to talk about, like, the interactions between people in this movie, there's seven brothers that never say a single word to each other. And, like, you don't get to know. I mean, somehow you guys knew all their names or who they were.
They just had weapons.
Yeah, you just call them their weapons.
Mace, we call them Mason. Weapons
names. Short bow.
All right, wait, so you got this? We got, okay, there's Axeman.
Axeman. Bow.
Short bow. Mace.
The bow and arrow guy.
Did we say him already?
No, he said short bow.
Short spear. Yeah, short spear, whatever the fuck he is.
And the bow. That's four.
I don't even know how you kept them all straight. I couldn't keep them all straight.
Well, that's the main guy, right?
He uses Chang's fist. Yeah.
He doesn't have a special weapon.
Yeah.
There's double axes.
And we said axes.
Damn it.
Stop.
Let's not make lists right now.
No, we don't get this. There's Axeman.
Damn it.
There's Axeman. There's the two that do the swords that hold hands.
When they're dying,
that's three. Colin, put another finger
up. Okay,
there's bow.
Yep,
spear,
fists,
and spear.
Spear and one guy who just uses swords. I'm pretty sure.
That seems like.
And then the sister.
Did we say the mace?
Yeah. Okay. Wait, no mace. That's the other guy.
And then there's the sister who uses twin blades.
Twin short blades.
Daggers. I don't know.
Well, anyhow, I mean, like, my point is that, like, none of these...
Fuck your point. I'm trying to name brothers here.
None of these characters actually, like, interact with each other. Or, like, there's no reason... I would care a lot more about what happens to these brothers.
Wait, do you consider an interaction, like, a foot to somebody's face?
I consider an interaction like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Like those four brothers, like I know and care about them. And they could have done something where like maybe one or two of them talk to each other.
I don't think we're supposed to care about it.
No, I think it's too much.
They are literally action guys to be like, come on, toys, get out here and play. You know, like,
king, ping, ping, psh.
But it's a movie, and these are our main characters. I mean, shouldn't you like?
Our main character is
the brother, because he might be the only guy that's. I mean, the fucking girl barely says anything, and she has a romantic interest with the white guy, and she doesn't say shit.
She doesn't.
Yeah. She's a submissive.
Asian girl.
He's in awe of her physical prowess, which I love that. That like,
oh my god,
does it offend you? I was amazed.
I love femdom.
I mean,
I'm such a cuckold.
by the time that they all, you know, when they're all getting killed, spoiler alert, like you would worry more, or not worry, but you would care more about them, feel something more about them. And not that this movie's trying to be all heartfelt at all, but it like, a couple lines of dialogue between the brothers. That's yeah, all right. It was.
The two brothers are dead together. They're like, I love you. I love you too. Oh.
Well, you need it before Nothing. That. You need it before they're dying, but
this,
you need
this
something.
This movie like, is just like a quarter of like every type of movie they were trying to, like, I don't know. It is weird because it's probably like the weakest Shaw Brothers martial arts movie I've ever seen. Like the martial arts isn't that great. Like the choreography and shit like that doesn't thrill you at all.
Well, to be fair, I've seen a lot of really bad ones. And this is, I wouldn't say it's worse. It's about par for the course for some of the, like, run-of-the-mill, like, shit that came out of Shaw Brothers.
But they, I mean, they had some classics.
They had better ones.
Fucking classics.
Yeah, they had classics.
There was a lot of people fighting.
They made 1,000 movies.
Right.
Most of them were like this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people fighting, like, then they all kind of mushed together. So you didn't get that clean, like, fighting.
Yeah, it wasn't It wasn't really like.
Yeah, you didn't get a clean. Well, because everybody's fighting four people, right?
Right.
In every scene, each seven brothers is fighting four individual people. So
the undead, the gang that kind of jumps them halfway through.
Yeah, seven people are literally always attacked by 40 people.
and
they each have to fight off four. Which, you know, you get that cool, like, you circle around the person. They do the, oh, I get the guy from the back, the side, the front, the you know, you get that.
And usually, like, even in that style, you get him, like, he fights one, another one jumps on screen, and he fights him and all that. In this, they're, like, all in frame. They're just crowding each other as they fight.
It's there were a couple shots where I was kind of wondering what was happening. Like, they did the whip pan.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, in the cave. There was a fight between one of the brothers and, like, four guys or whatever. And then it whip pans over to see what the girl's doing. And I'm like, were they just waiting, like off screen, just waiting to pounce until they knew the camera was coming and then they moved? Or was there background action going on? You know, because, I mean, you got to choreograph those routines, right?
Yeah.
So I imagine they were just waiting. It almost kind of, I got that feeling, I guess. That, like, they were waiting until the camera turned to them to actually start.
But at least it was off screen versus, like, on screen. Like,
they're just like,
back and forth waiting, you know, like just.
Yeah, like, like a fucking Street Fighter.
Like you're treading water. Yeah. Waiting for your chance to get your ass beat, basically. Mm-hmm.
There was one. It's in the trailer, but it's, like, one of the best moments. In the movie where Chang, I think it's a finisher, right? When they're on the way,
finisher.
The convoy of, you know, of the English folks are on their way to the village where the vampires are, you know, laying siege. And they get set upon by this, the Tongs or whatever. And the finishing move is, I think, does he rip the fucking guy's throat out? It's
like, feels like he pierces his neck.
Yeah, like he gets the jugular or something.
And then
he pulls his fingers out and they're bloody. So the guy's like dead in his arms. And so he wipes the blood off on the guy's collar before he lets
and
him drop
to
the
ground.
Like,
yeah.
That was nice. I mean, I don't know if there are any other good finishing moves because, a lot of it did kind of look like, I don't know about the choreography or if it was just the way that they shot it, but it's a fucking.
It's a lot of like you slash the sword, like the villain has his back towards the camera. The hero comes up, slashes sword. He turns around with blood on his mouth and goes,
Yeah. Or like, spits it toward the camera.
Recall spitting.
Okay, so here's the thing.
You got my back.
You were saying earlier that like this was, it felt like an Asian movie that they had acquired. They actually did hire, or I think the Shaw brothers said, when you're shooting the martial arts stuff, because that's our thing, we have our own director who's going to shoot the martial arts scene. So, like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, those scenes with the, like the village, like the initial thing where the zombies, you know, the zombie army or whatever is coming into the village, you know, you're like, well, okay, was this all like done by the American crew or was this done by the Asian crew? Because you can't really. You know, it feels different. Than,
I think
I guess,
most of it's the Asian. I just do. Like, I think most of it's Asian. I do. Yeah. Probably more than they'd admit. They're just slapping their guy on it.
They don't give that guy credit, I don't think.
Like, it doesn't feel like, it's not like the, it's not the A crew from Asia, though. I mean, it's like, that's like B squad or C squad. I mean, like this, it doesn't seem like that skilled of martial arts. I don't know. It feels sloppy to me.
It does. It is feels, because you can, there's some points, it should be fast enough where like the guy who's standing behind the guy they're fighting, like, shouldn't have enough time to make it look like he could just stick his axes in the guy's back.
Yeah.
That happens quite a few times in this, which is like, you could hit him right there, and they just don't. Yeah. Like, it's not fast enough to get past those parts.
Well, there was that one, I mean, it's one really awkward, I thought really awkward fight was between the English guy and, like,
all
an Asian.
All his fights were pretty awkward.
Yeah. Well, this is Leland Van Helsing. This is Van Helsing's son?
Yeah, I guess so.
But and you wouldn't know that from the movie.
With a woman.
They never talked to
his
each other.
Grandson? Well, he could have been like the grandson, That's like, right, they don't really.
Van Helsing and the kid, they never talked to each other.
They just be like, let's go, he father.
Says, like, he gave him like love advice.
Yeah, he's like, pardon me, sir, as they pass each other. Like, that's it.
That's how you used to raise kids back in the day. You're in this movie too. You know, you fucking kept your distance.
I guess.
But yeah, it's like this guy's trying to come at him with a knife. And I want to say at some point, there was a really awkward moment, the first one, where like the guy had to wait until the English guy rolled out of the way to swing over and put the knife.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like, okay, like, you gonna go now?
Boom! Right, like he's holding it back. The guy is so on top of him, like waiting for him to get off, and he's like, he could just stab him right there.
Yeah, he was
slow. That white guy is slow.
It's a little slow.
And then when he actually did it's the classic scene where the villain is like bearing down on the guy. Our hero's laying down, trying to force the knife away from his chest, and he turns it toward the Asian guy, plunges it into his chest. And in that scene, I mean, you can clearly see the Asian guy is like turning the blade himself.
Yeah. The Asian guy is so much stronger than that.
Yeah.
Dude, anyway.
Yeah.
Take it easy on me. I'm delicate.
Yeah. So that's that really weird merging between, like, well, we have these British thespians, right, who are used to standing around and giving dialogue, and we're putting them in an action movie, and it's like, what kind of stunt work
was done in theater fighting? Like, that's what I don't understand. Yeah, like, why is he such so hard?
Does a lot of that in some of the other movies. You know, when he was younger in the 50s movies.
Right. Oh, yeah,
he's
old.
Swinging off of shit. You remember in Dracula. Well, the horror of Dracula, there's a scene at the end where he, like, goes running down a long table, leaps into the air, grabs onto these curtains and yanks them down, and the sunlight comes in and kills Dracula. And it's like, wow, he just, like, fucking got up and did it. And in the second one, in Brides of Dracula, I think he's in, like, a room that's on fire, and he's, like, swinging around and shit. And I'm like, back then, it was like, there's no stunt guys. That's fucking Peter Cushing, because you could see his face, you know? It's not
And no one else looks like Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's so you know it's
for a skeleton. Yeah.
Ichabod Crane or, like...
Kids,
you will know Peter Cushing from Star Wars. He was General...
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Kids.
You may fire when ready.
You may fire when ready. For sure.
Possibly, if you watch the BBC, he was Sherlock Holmes for a period.
He's a 70-pound gentleman that day.
76 pounds.
He's an articulated skeleton with skin.
But he was flipping in this movie. He's doing flips and shit at the end, right?
Yeah.
Like, he can swing a mean torch.
Over those
he swings torches. And
he fell into the fire.
He did.
Fell into the fire.
Could have lit himself up.
Yeah.
Damn.
Dedicated to his art. Yeah. I appreciate the fact that even though, like, he had to think that this stuff that he was doing was just silly as hell, right?
Right. He's like,
but he never really gives it away in his performance. I guess that's why I love Peter Cushing.
He's dedicated.
Yeah, he's dedicated.
Character.
Because I can't break that thought when I'm watching him in these Dracula and Frankenstein movies that, like, this guy thinks that this stuff is, I mean, he has to, right?
Right. Yeah.
I've been doing this seven fucking times. I'm just writing if they want me to do it, I'll do it.
Well, yeah, because when did Peter Cushing get fucking popular? When he was
in the
60 fucking eight? Or
57.
How old was he? That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of these horror actors always get popular at the end of their careers in a weird way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not the end of their careers, but later in life. You know, Boris Karloff, Christopher Lee, Peter. Yeah. I mean, these people get. I mean, the fucking tall man that just passed away from Phantasm.
That's right.
He didn't get found until whatever Phantasm. Yeah. The guy's fucking 70 years old. He's like, "Ooh, am my big breakthrough.
Well, that's why I'm trying to think of what the age difference must have been between Cushing and Lee.
Mm.
Because Cushing, I want to say, died in the 90s, early 90s. And Lee just died this past year.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But Lee had Satan on his side.
Well, Lee's got, he's apparently related to Charlemagne or some shit. He's got like some kind of, he's a royal lineage somewhere. There's
what
like
was his band's name?
Coat of Arms.
And I don't know if it's a band. I mean, they have him sing.
It's a heavy metal
or
band.
Or he talks. He fucking talks.
Does he talk?
Doesn't even sing. He just goes like this. This is barely singing. I mean, he's a fucking 90-year-old man.
Singing like, heavy metal.
It's not. He's not singing heavy metal. That's a huge, huge misadvertisement. Singing heavy metal is like, he's an old man speaking really close to a mic. That's just, it's not.
He's a baritone.
It's bad. Yeah, it's bad. It's just like
hilarious. And I still appreciate the fact that
it's a paycheck. That's a fucking paycheck.
Old, wanted to do heavy metal.
That's to get his. Like, he didn't want to do heavy metal. Yeah, the guy just needs his Viagra.
I read the shit with him where he was like, "It was amazing to me that it took this long for me to discover." Heavy metal. And he does these like,
advertising. You put me in the movie, you know what? I love those type of movies. Yeah. Oh, I love them.
I'm in
fucking
the
sci-fi porno. Oh, such a fan.
Sci-fi porno. I'm in the Christopher Lee fan club, so I'm like signing up to all the Facebook. He does like these personalized, God rest his soul. Personalized greetings to his fans, like every not personalized, like you know, hey,
$20.
But, you know, like to his Facebook fans every Christmas, or he had
a little
like,
fireside chats with his fans.
Yeah, like this is what I'm doing this year. Yeah. We're doing this.
He would release a video.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he said, "Hey, Colin"?
It would.
Oh yeah, man! Oh,
hello, and now, Colin. Especially, it would be even more awesome.
From beyond the grave.
They should do that. Tupac still does.
Tupac, the fucking
Where's the fucking hologram?
Oh, right, we got to bring back Christopher Lee. What
for
the hell?
One last time.
What's he gonna do
as Dracula?
Tim Burton would do it too, because I mean, for Christ's sakes, he's in like every Tim Burton movie. That maybe his last
every Tim Burton.
Last Tim Burton movie, Dark Shadows.
He was
maybe
in Dark Shadows.
He was in.
I guess so.
Maybe Dark Shadows. He did Willy Wonka. He did.
And he was in Hugo. He did. He was the Jabberwocky in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, like, I mean, Hugo had to be toward the end. I don't know what his actual last feature film appearance was, but yeah, that's just, and he worked for Hammer again in a movie called, I would say it was The Resident with Hilary Swank.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Hammer came back.
That was a Hammer movie?
In 2007. They've restructured, and now they're doing, they did Woman in Black. Woman in Black 2.
Yeah.
The Quiet Ones, and Let Me In, which was good, but nobody saw.
That is good.
Yeah. I didn't know Hammer did it, but Let Me In?
Hammer.
That was their first one, right?
Hammer film. Well, technically, I think it was The Resident, and then Wakewood.
Let Me In was before The Resident.
No, because they had to work their way up from, like, you know,
that property.
And then Let Me In was supposed to be, like, their first big one. Yeah. But everybody either had already seen Let the Right One In or didn't care or whatever, so it never did anything. So Woman in Black became like the...
Let the Right One In's better. It's just better. Let Me In.
Let the Right One In has a better kill scene at the end.
Yeah, for fucking sure. That's what's amazing about it, right? Yeah. It's better in the original. Fuck Let Me In.
But I like Let Me In for different reasons, I think.
I don't like how Let Me In like cheaped out in the. I can't believe we're talking about Let Me In now. But I can't believe they cheaped out in not making her a boy, right?
Oh, that's right. That's your argument.
Audiences nowadays would love it.
Just ruined it. Spoilers for Let.
They did kind of cast.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too late now. It's
the movie. Yeah, we said the title way like 10 seconds before we spoiled it. People should know by now.
Yeah. It's not that big of a spoiler. Most people watch Let the Right One In and don't get that the vampire is a castrated boy. They just think it's a girl. They don't get, you know.
Well, yeah, they definitely tiptoe around that.
Fucking boy, dude.
I didn't get that.
That boy loves that boy. But I think it's
The Swedish one.
The Swedish
version. Well, it's not in the American or whatever the British American one. Yeah. Let me in. It's not an issue.
It's not.
She's a girl.
No, also, they still have that same scene, but she's still just like, I'm a monster instead of like, I'm not a girl, and I'm a monster, where the other is like, nah, dude, she's supposed to be a fucking boy.
Well, there was also a controversy with the subtitling on that movie.
I did hear that.
There was a redoing of the subtitles, and it changed certain plot points of the movie, depending on which one you saw.
Yeah, I heard that.
You remember that? Yeah. So it changed a few like key things in the movie.
I think it was the dubbing versus the subtitles. So, I think that's what it was. I think it was the dubbing.
I thought the subtitles, said something.
But where's the other set of subtitles? Where would you get another set of subtitles?
Like, they redid it. Send your disc in and get the redone ones.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Because they didn't match what was in the theater or something like that.
Yeah,
you're saying that.
And it changed some key things.
So I don't know which one I have.
I can't believe we spent the, well, it's a Hammer movie, I guess. We're
Hey, come on. We are
done talking about The Legend of the Seven Colors.
We dropped it quick.
Yeah, because we haven't even mentioned the special effects.
Well, we wrapped up the plot. I mean, basically, that's it. It's a simple fucking idea, right? They have to go to the village. This is now, we talk about the
ancestral village.
It's a travel movie.
Peter Cushing. We've got his son, who he barely speaks to. We've got
the hot woman.
We've got Vanessa Buren.
Woman.
We start the Vanessa Buren Appreciation Club tonight.
The fan club.
Who's Vanessa Buren?
She's
the one with the boobs.
No, that was Julie.
Was it?
E G E. Pronounce that.
Which one was Vanessa
E-G-E?
Buren?
I don't know. Egge? I don't know.
Egge? It could be Egge.
Egge?
Yeah.
No, it was Vanessa
Egge.
Buren.
No, it was Julie Egge. I got the book Hammer Glamour.
You
should check this out.
You showed the book.
Oh yeah,
we've seen the book.
Oh yeah.
It's a good book. It's a good read.
It's a good read.
The bios. Yeah.
She was in on Her Majesty's Secret Service as a Swedish girl at the Chateau Chalet. Where
Chateau, you said that wrong. Chateau Chalet. Chateau? You're supposed to say it like that.
The Chalet? Chateau?
French.
Chateau
French.
Chalet. Yeah.
Ma France.
Scandinavian. So anyway, she has provides the prerequisite hammer heaving bosoms. Aside from all of the topless Chinese women who are being sacrificed.
Just screaming, like barely wiggling. They're like, why don't you guys try to act a little bit? It's like, all right, I guess that's what we're going to get. Yeah, it was very like
definitely not heaving.
No, they were not heaving.
They're just like,
wait, who?
Can they not like wiggle around too fast? We can't see their boobs.
They have to be
wiggle your lower body.
Whenever
that's a joke, but I believe this.
Whenever the
like, I honestly, that was their motive. Because I'm thinking, why the fuck? Because these girls aren't really acting. They're slowly wiggling, going. It's probably because you couldn't see their boobs if they're. It's more seductive if they're slowly. You're moving too fast, honey. Can't see the nips.
Slow down. Those high speed cameras like they do today.
Well, I like the way that whenever the vampires attack the village and pull all of the women out. They have to, at least twice, that's what I'm saying. You got to go for the third one, rip their shirts off in the process of doing it.
That's some good exploitation.
Though. It is. It's good exploitation. It delivers what you
expect,
I guess, from the movie to, you know, the contract that you enter into with this movie. Right. I'm going to get fucking Dracula, which you kind of sort of do. I'm going to get Kung Fu.
I give you my money.
I get Kung Fu explosions in the street. And then I'm going to get boobs. Heaving breasts.
So you are going to get exactly, I'm going to say 11 minutes of exploitation. And the rest of this hour 25, right? Hour 25, you said?
Hour 25.
Hour 20?
Maybe 35.
The rest of it is just a lot of like.
Walking?
Vampires are very evil and strong. You must get them, you must stab them in the heart. But, Doctor.
Fire.
What about fire? I'm not sure about the European vampire.
No, he's sure about that.
He is sure about that.
He's sure about that.
Not sure about the Chinese.
The Asian.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Pretty spot on.
And it's funny that, like. But
then there's a fight scene.
And this is, okay, this is something I totally believe every Chinese movie has to be pro-China propaganda to some extent, right? And in the beginning of the movie, fucking Peter Cushing is just like, here's this fucking golden vampire legend. He's like. The vampire myth could very well originate from this country. I'm like, what the fuck? Chinese propaganda. Vampires come from China.
Isn't that a bad thing?
Well, I'm just saying the Chinese government's it's just like very fault. Good.
Yes.
Everything comes from China. We are not Homo sapiens. We are our own race. They are. They think that. They think they're their own separate, like.
They melt.
No, we did it differently.
Damn it. They turn to dust, and like Indiana Jones, the dust blows off, and it just says made in China instead of a Nazi symbol.
This podcast will never air in China.
Ever. I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
Sing like Deadpool, man. I'm fucking proud of Deadpool.
Not by our choice, by China's choice. Let's make that very clear.
If you are Chinese and you like the Saturday Night Free Show, please take us to China.
Yes,
we would love to. Yeah, we'll tour.
I've never been.
We could be like the old rock bands. We could be really big overseas.
That's Japan.
And then,
That's Japan.
One day,
China would let those
documentary
people play.
About this.
Japan's fine. I'll go to Japan.
Some Chinese guy in the future will come to this country looking for us because we're huge.
Like Sum is spelled S-U-M. I just want everybody to know that. Sum is his name. Sum Chinese guy.
Sum
Chinese.
All right, so how does this wrap up?
Dracula. They're just like,
I'm back.
Well, they
let's
have
bookend
this,
it with that weak ass Dracula guy.
They do have a plan because there's three fight scenes. Four. There's the rickshaw fight scene at the beginning. Then there's the tong fight scene out in the desert. Then there's the three golden vampire fight scene in the caves. With the awesome non-flapping
bats
that sound like the rusty wheels.
Yeah, they
do. Flap. They're relatives of the rusty spiders from the beyond.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's the final fight. Am I missing one? I
think final fight.
The final fight, the siege, ready. Where finally our British heroes arrive. This is what I love about this movie. It's like you've got guys who know kung fu, or at least
kung fu.
This is what the movie says.
Yeah.
They are kung fu. So there's seven of them, right? Fighters who have pledged themselves to ridding this village of these vampires. This is their ancestral home.
And some reason need Van
it's
Helsing.
It's because they don't live there, right? They've never actually been to their ancestral home.
Yes.
You think?
That's why they need Peter Cushing.
This whole time I'm like, they came from there and went and got Peter Cushing.
How do you know they didn't come from there? I don't think they really specified.
Then it doesn't make sense. So suddenly it clicked for me.
No, they need fucking Van Helsing for no reason.
Well, because they haven't been.
You believe in vampires. We have vampires. Come with us.
But they haven't actually been there. They've only been as far as the little Buddha statue.
Oh, yeah?
As the goat will go with me on this. Let's see if we can.
I don't know if that's true.
It goes and gets the little Buddha statue and then, like, goes and says, like, we need to find someone who knows something about vampires. And they go and get Van Helsing.
No, see, that's why he lives. They live there because that's why he has the golden, like, the one that his ancestor took, the golden vampire bat emblem or whatever.
He does have it.
So,
but he could have just went there.
He does.
Okay.
Why? Fucking Fast and Fury Road does it. Like, Mad Max does, like, go there, then come back. I mean, that means nothing happens in this movie. It's like a road trip movie. That they're just like,
four fights.
I have seven brothers.
I think they need Van
vampires
Helsing
are very
because,
scary.
You know, like they've never dealt.
They don't
like,
know how to beat
he's,
them.
He's beaten the vampires. They never have.
He's got street
before.
Cred.
Yeah. Although I don't see how they've never beat them because they take down like four of them in the cave.
Yeah.
Very easily.
But and zombies.
They
they've never
totally
even tried to fight
them. Though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Based by the main brother, like, oh, we can't fight.
So we can't fight anymore.
But you guys did fine.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? We cannot lose anymore.
We must.
Everyone's fine. What are you talking about?
They're exhausted.
No, it was just time for a fucking like an inspirational speech by Peter Cushing. You did just well. You know, it's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Hit them
here?
In the heart.
Even their one sister.
Yeah, in the heart.
Yeah, it was.
We
fine.
Can't do it. We did.
Yeah. It's the,
they, like,
the toll
them
of fighting the vampires. Is
it's like we need something. We need more talking parts in this movie.
Yeah,
maybe that's
like,
Dracula.
It took
like,
one of us, and there was like three of them, and we barely were able to do it. Or the other way around. Three of us and one of them, we were barely able to do it. So the morale is shot.
So here's a question about, okay, so Dracula needs Can, Con, Cal.
Ka.
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 Needs
Ka.
Needs his body, right, to walk around undetected. But at the end, like, he just, like, does a spin move and turns back into Dracula. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess why.
I feel like he's in a place like Dracula Castle.
Yeah.
Like he's in the confines of that
within
temple.
There, he has all the power.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, he's able to sustain himself in that. Outside of it, no.
But it's ego, right?
But does he ever Bill's leave
Van
there?
Van Helsing was like...
Does he ever leave that place?
Yeah, he comes riding out to the castle, I think. Or not the castle,
but
the village.
But
as Ka.
Oh, he does.
Okay. He follows with the hopping...
I was trying to figure out why he ever had to turn into Ka in the first place.
Christopher Lee's not in the movie. Yeah. They didn't want fucking...
You're not Christopher Lee.
You know, goddamn Cesar Romero as the Joker. Like.
Yeah.
It's really bad makeup.
Yeah.
Under green light, green and red light, which is kind of weird. Like, whenever they go into Dracula's castle at the beginning and Ka's temple at the end, there's this very harsh green and red.
Dark shadows,
your favorite thing, Colin.
Yeah, but in these movies,
you made a point, though. It doesn't...
They look great.
You can get away with that back then.
Yeah, it doesn't look weird at all.
It doesn't look weird.
They're like, fucking green. Caves are green and purple.
Red lights everywhere. Green. He's green. I like it. It works.
Yeah, but that wasn't normal, I guess, for this type. You know, if you look at the other ones, they don't look like that.
So oh,
like, why in the other fuck? Dracula or other?
Because it was more American. That's American movie. Gothic, right? American TV. Well, because like I said, every dark shadow I've seen in color has those greens and shit like that.
Green is just creepy.
Green is the color of fear, I hear.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. It's a copyright 2016.
Green is the color of fear.
My children's album. Show. Green is the color of fear, I hear, and blue is the color of... I don't know.
Blue is the color of poo.
Yeah, wait, right.
Yeah. Oh.
It rhymes. Doesn't mean anything.
Kids, blue's blue.
So are we wrapping it up?
I think so. Well, there's the Scandinavian girl does get... There is actually these vampires.
The impalement.
Yeah. Well, she gets.
I like how the Asian vampires like have teeth they can't hide. They're like
right.
down into their chins,
and their faces are made of like oatmeal or something like that. And they've got
I thought they were like paper mache vampire.
Each of the seven vampires wears a golden mask over their face, right? So they've got that, but underneath
that's
like,
why they're called the golden vampire.
Oh, I thought it was because of the bat suit.
Yeah. Because they're Asian.
Both.
Oh, the golden. What the hell? Jeez.
All of them.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But one of them does get his dirty fangs into the Scandinavian woman.
Yeah, totally kills the woman.
Yeah.
And then she turns into
a vampire. She was
just
standing there doing nothing for that entire fight.
She becomes evil, lickety split.
Really quick. That's the fastest transformation I've seen.
It was fast, which I like that. It's not bad. Yeah.
that's one of like the best effects in the movie, though, like the two holes in her neck, the close up. Like
the fade away or when it fades off.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, that looks deep.
Yeah, it looks deep and then it fades away.
And she kills the main Chinese vampire? Or
brother.
Do all the brothers die?
All of them. Yeah. Except for the woman. Yeah.
The two get to the temple, right, with Peter Cushing, and then they die?
Yeah,
because the monkey vampire.
I can't remember.
He falls in the vat of
boiling blood.
Yeah.
I want to say he kills them. Yeah. He falls in the vat.
Oh. Yeah.
Show yourself, Dracula.
He kills.
And Dracula shows up.
Yeah.
He shows himself.
Yeah.
And then it's just a one-on-one thing.
For about 5 seconds, yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of anticlimactic.
Very anticlimactic. But I got to say, I thought it was a cool way. I mean, obviously, in the end of a Dracula movie, you're going to watch him fade away for 10 minutes.
He lapped his own.
He's like, It's like,
that's Paul Rubens.
I know, right? I was just thinking about that. It's like, maybe that's what Buffy Vampire Slayer was talking about.
That's got to be a play on that. It's like, instead of watching him melt away for 10 minutes, he's like,
But as he slowly fades away, I like how the spear breaks through his
falls over and breaks his skull.
No longer held up by the cage of his ribs.
I thought that was Hammer saying we're fucking done with Dracula. He's permanently dead.
I doubt that they actually wanted to be done with Dracula.
Well,
at this
but
point.
They couldn't help that, right? They didn't have a Dracula.
Yeah,
they didn't have a Dracula.
They had John Forbes Robertson.
Oh yeah,
they would have had him come.
He wasn't even in the movie. They're just like, dude, we.
But he was the new guy.
Dude, I swear to God, like, I'd have to see this on Blu-ray. I swear to God, when there's, like, faraway shots, I think they blur his face so he kind of could be mistaken for Christopher Lee. I swear.
Yeah, put a little Vaseline on the lens.
Yeah, I swear.
Make him glow.
Hey, he, sir, was no Christopher Lee. We're all in agreement with that, right?
He didn't have bloodshot eyes.
You decided to show us the one without.
Yeah, the one without. I swear.
I feel like I've watched one over here. Maybe not in the freak show, but I've seen one with
Christopher Lee. I have never seen Christopher Lee as Dracula.
Really?
I don't care for him.
I don't think so.
Really? Like, who was making the comment
about... I don't care for Hammer movies, period.
The whole, like, and Dracula dissolving thing, like... Like, it was a big deal, but it's the same thing they've been doing since, like, the beginning of...
The 30s.
Of yeah.
Time.
The same effect, yeah.
Ah! Yeah.
It's just that slow... I mean, they've gotten better at it. Better since the Wolfman, for sure. But, like,
was it really?
Slow,
yeah, was it really? It looked the same to me.
Colin, whatever your next movie is, you need to put that into it. Some sort of slow...
The fade?
Fading.
Well, I think it's
the lap.
Yeah, yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that today.
It's the idea of, like, having a stationary... object that you're dissolving to, like the Wolfman was still moving around. I think
no, they locked
his
him
feet.
Down.
Oh, they
he was
locked
like in a chair, yeah, or in a pillow that was shaped to his head, so he could like get out, put a little more makeup on.
That
come
was
back, shoot some more, get out, put a little more makeup on, come back.
Was that it like a green Costello? Screen pillow, or was it just?
It was like a.
It was like a plaster.
Yeah, that was in Frankenstein
it just
meets
looked
the Wolf,
like
man.
A pillow.
It was, yeah, it looks like a pillow. Well, I think it had a pillow sheet on it, but whatever. Yeah. It was shaped to his head so he could lay into it and get the same pose
to
every
get
time.
The same.
And they wouldn't move the camera.
Yeah.
So then you just
and
dissolve
just apply it
those
once,
exposures.
Apply it. Keep going. Wow.
It'd be the same way like how Sam Raimi and them on the first Evil Dead, how they did those stop motion like spreading of the, you know, probably be the same thing, right? Keep your arm fucking still, draw some.
Yeah.
Draw a little bit.
Yeah.
Fucking tedious.
That was how it was done from like the inception of cinema through, we're saying this is 1974.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, was there another? It was a lap dissolves and
slow
something
fade.
Else. Because by the time you got to Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1981, right. Like the guy fucking melted right in front of you. I mean, that's stop motion kind of, but
yeah,
you know,
still
it's kind of similar, but not, I don't know. I mean, you 81, you had the bladder effects and the wolf and, or howling and American Werewolf. So I'm sure there was like some Spanish werewolf movie from like 1979. Oh well, fuck. The Night of the Werewolf with Paul, was it Nachi? That was 80.
Was it?
And they did the fucking lab dissolve. Yeah. I should watch that one.
No.
Yeah. All right. So I guess anything else on the Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, gentlemen?
Good.
Oh, shit. Wait, I have notes.
Mail? We have notes? Something?
And we do have mail. But I have a note that Shit Zoo.
Wow.
Shizu.
Which, by the way, is not what's written there.
I know. It's just shit. Shizu. Shit. Su. Shit. Shizu. She's the girl.
Shizu. Nice to meet you.
She's the one sister. Her best known work is a movie from 1980 called Wu-Tang Clan.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
There it is.
Kids, you know the Wu-Tang Clan, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
and rap was born.
Yeah, all you 30-something-year-olds out there, you know the Wu-Tang
Clan. 30-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so mailbag. Oh, Jesus Christ, Igor, I didn't even see you there.
Bye.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right. Thank you, Igor.
Take a shower, Igor. Jesus.
If you want to write to us, by the way, the mailbag segment is brought to you by the Saturday Night Freak Show. If you want to write to us, go to Facebook. You can find us there or on Twitter and write to us about any this movie or any of the previous.
Anything you want to talk to us about.
If you want to sponsor the mailbag, apparently.
Yeah, there you go. Seriously, give us a call. Chris Huddleston writes in about Maximum Overdrive, our episode from Two Back.
Yep.
Did you guys do my It Stinks thing?
Did we wrap up? Yeah, we tried to do a John Lovitz. Yeah, it didn't work right. Chris Huddleston writes in, and thanks for writing in, Chris. He says, someone needs to write a book about all the coke-fueled movies, horror and otherwise, made during the 1980s. Cocaine is to the 80s movies as pot and LSD were to 60s and 70s music.
Friday 13th, part 5.
Yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. We'll be looking forward to that book coming from you, Chris, and we'll be sure to purchase it.
Using the Amazon button on our
but website. He's going to write it, though. The book about the Coke.
Well, you can put it on Amazon, then you can find it.
Right, and then you publish us, and then it'll be the whole process. So in 10 years when you've written it, we'll put it on.
Amazon button, Chris. We'll be good.
There you go.
Thank you, Chris.
And Nick Hammond writes in about Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. He says, thanks to YouTube, I caught this flick. Not a bad little flick, but was this their Dracula in Space movie? You know when you've run out of ideas when you send them to space or Hong Kong in this case, but it was a fun idea of Kung Fu in a Dracula movie. That's almost like combining sharks and tornadoes.
I think Nick's right, because that's what we were talking about earlier.
Sharks
based on what you had read from Nick Hammond.
It's all very circular. It's very
cyclical.
Yeah, we just keep eating ourselves.
This story is based on comment. Yeah,
so that means wrap-ups, which are our final thoughts on this movie. And that starts with
Brent.
Okay, so my biggest problem with this movie is I can't remember the title. I know, I can remember Seven Brothers, and that's about it. And I know that's not even the title, but that's the American version, right?
Seven Brothers Meet Dracula.
Seven Brothers for Seven Draculas.
Vampire. What do we say? The Seven Deadly Draculas.
The Seven Deadly Draculas. That's my movie.
The Legend.
Copyright 2016 Saturday Night for sure.
My other problem with this film is that, like, there's no sort of connection between any sort of character in the film. The closest thing you have is at the end with Cushing and Dracula, but where it's like, you know, or Dracula, I said this earlier, where he's like, remember me? You know. Like, but that's, like, really all you have, even with there's two love interests, two different love stories going on in this movie. There's the Van Helsing Jr. and the Asian, and the one sister, and they're kind of
Shih Tzu.
Yeah. They're trying to get it on. And you see stuff, which I guess is kind of a progression throughout the film, but they're still,
they wash dishes together.
They smile.
They kissed. Oh, they did.
Yeah,
I think
they kissed.
Did they?
Yeah. But when they're setting up like for the final battle, and they're putting up the spikes, and they're in the village and everything. He's like, come here. And they just kiss. She still says nothing.
I must have missed it, because I didn't give a shit about these characters.
Oh, damn!
During the movie, they didn't do anything to show that like there's any sort of affection. There's seven brothers that don't do anything. There's no sort of, you know, continuity there, or like any sort of relationship as brothers would have. There's no... there's like literally nothing with the... Well, who's the girl that we're starting the fan club for? The
Julie
Ing
Julie Eggy and the main brother that actually speaks English.
David Chang.
It's so still forced.
Working. It's a band name, Julie Eggy and the main brother. That's a good funk band from the
Capricorn. Julie Eggy and the main brother. They Like she's just doing it. It seems like at first out of spite, because the British fellow, you know.
Yeah, she looks bored. She looks like
Peter Cushing Jr. goes over and wants to do this thing, and so she's gonna go. And,
who's left?
Yeah,
in a slasher movie, it's like when the dude, like when all the girls get taken up, and like you look like across the room at the only other person, you know, not taking. Like, all right, I guess so. It's like,
well, here we go.
That's exactly what it felt like. It's like fucking weird.
Yeah, like, well, okay, this is.
I gotta fuck someone.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, with all of that, by the time, like, there's some serviceable, I guess, to mediocre kung fu. Like leading up to the big ending, but at the end they're like building it up like these are all our heroes, we should care about these people. And I'm just like, I don't really care. I mean, there was not much about like any of them other than like I was interested to see how they were gonna die, or you know, like counting the body count. There was nothing in this movie that like made me care about any sort of character in it. And I guess that's kind of a big thing for me with movies, I suppose.
You want characters?
I want to care about the characters, you know, a little bit if I'm going to watch it. And I didn't. So I guess I don't know. I mean, sure, it was fun, you know, and you're watching it with your friends and you're watching something you can make fun of. It's a good time, but, I would pass it. I would avoid it at all costs. That's it. Sorry.
There you go. This movie is kind of a mess. It does have that feeling of like, well, what do we do now? What should we do? It's like, well, we can do this. We'll like, let's send them to the fucking Orient and go from there. And I mean, that's what they did. I don't take this. I can't take it too seriously because it's fucking golden vampires and seven brothers. And if you don't take it too seriously, you can have fun watching this movie. I mean, obviously it's got its flaws, but, I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. I wouldn't sit down and watch it by myself. God, no. But, I enjoyed watching it here tonight. It was fun for me. Despite its many flaws, but yeah, I mean, you know, recommend watching it with friends, but if you don't sit down and watch this by yourself, I don't think you'll really get anything out of it.
Nick it Hammond did. I mean, poor man. We said we were going to watch the movie, so he sat down and watched.
Thanks. Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. You're a trooper. You're there with us. Thank you.
This is the second time I've seen this, and. I've not instigated either of the times.
Against my will is
because I've got a problem with Hammer movies. I am not so I don't romanticize like the gothic like version of horror. Like I don't know. I always thought those movies were very. They're always the type of movies where the trailer is better than the entire fucking movie. They just sell it with like boobs, blood, and terror. You're like, I gotta fucking see that shit.
The trailer for this movie
but
is really
most
awesome.
Of it is just people being like, vampires are real, not just myth. The myths of old. I mean, it's just like fucking
it's the same
shit.
Movie over
it
and
takes
over again.
Fucking 30 minutes to describe what a vampire is. It takes 30 minutes to like travel to the vamp. That's my problem with this movie. It's like a travel movie. I fucking hate like, let's go. We're on the road. We're traveling. Oh, something stopped. It's just like fucking hell. Like, I wish we were in one place actually going through something instead of just like, we're on our way to the story. There's the movie. You know, it's just like fucking hell.
Should we go? No.
Just like at the end, yeah, where the vampire like scoops up the woman. As soon as he scoops up the woman, I was like, follow me if you want to see the end of the movie. Because it's just like, what does it matter if he takes her to the fucking temple or like, you know, it's just something to do. Yeah, I wish it was a better martial arts movie. I wish, yeah, like this just doesn't do anything for me. Like, not even like. I mean, like I said, it's. I mean, it could be fun to sit around and bullshit to and joke it, and but there's almost not even a lot of scenes to joke at because most of it is just fucking sitting around being like, looks like a romance is happening. Oh yeah. Definitely, for sure. It's like, Jesus fucking, who gives a shit, you know? I was like, fight somebody. Where's a vampire? Where's Dracula, for fuck's sake? You know, I don't care about these, the two fucking romance. It's just, So
I recommend it.
Yeah. Watch it with your family. I don't give a fuck for it.
Yeah.
Well,
poster.
I mean, I'm saying that this isn't even my favorite Hammer movie. You know, I was trying to think, like, I want to do it, you know, bring a Hammer movie to the freak show since Captain Kronos, I thought, went over well and was a good movie. Pardon
Jesus
me,
Chris.
Are you dying?
Yeah, okay. Sorry for the listeners. And, you know, I'm like, and Christopher Lee just passed away last year, so we should do a Dracula movie. And somehow I ended up on the one that doesn't have him in it. But I think it was because, like, you know, I'm like, it's got to be Dracula 80, 1972, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like Austin Powers era with Caroline Monroe is in it also. And Dracula shows up, but he doesn't do anything. He never does anything.
Right.
He stays in a cathedral and says these, you know, pronunciations of, you know, doom and gloom. You will do my bidding.
He's got that voice.
Go for it. Yeah. He's got the presence. I mean, I guess that's what, you know, in the first one, I keep thinking back to the horror of Dracula, or Dracula to the British audience, where he actually was like, he had lines, he wandered around, he was a charismatic, what would you say, distinguished, I keep saying like gentlemanly count. He had a regal, you know, carried himself that way, more so than Bela Lugosi, I think, in the part. But he also had like that kind of like a feral, you know, when he, because Bela Lugosi, like his maximum expression of like animalistic, I'm going to get you, is this shot that's stuck in my mind from the 30s Dracula, where he just has like what looks like a giant smile coming closer and closer to the camera, where Christopher Lee doesn't hiss. But I mean, he's like angry. He fucking moves, and you know he's gonna fucking kill you. And his eyes are all red, and it's like it's a thing. And then over the course of the rest of the movies, they really don't have anything for him to do except for like, well, show up and be menacing, be commanding. You know, stand there and be Dracula, which he does. This one I thought would be more fun to watch. Because unlike the other ones are like, you know, now, you know, it's like it's an acquired, the rest of the Draculas are an acquired taste. I'd say I'd recommend the first one, The Horror of Dracula, you know, if you're a horror fan. The other ones are like, I mean, basically they are remaking the same movie. This is kind of, well, not really. This one is a little different, I guess. Because, I mean, you look at, like, Taste the Blood of Dracula and Dracula AD. It's the same. It's the same fucking plot.
Yeah.
It's these. Yeah, okay, well, we'll get into that some other time. But, you know, this one is a little different, but I don't think it's good. I don't think it's different in a good way, because I think Dracula really does work when it's gothic horror. When you take him and plant him down in, you know, Eastern Kung Fu, you know, then it's like, well, it's really not a Dracula movie. So you throw that out. So now you've got Peter Cushing in with a bunch of, you know, kung in a kung fu movie, which to me right there, I'm sold, right? Like you got this distinguished British gentleman with kung fu, bam, got to go see that. You've got, I guess the Playboy Playmate is like a, you know, a given at this point in time. It's a Hammer film, and you're going to have, you know, the supernatural horror element of weird Chinese. I mean, it's like basically alien to us, right? I mean, you sit there and you're like, all our vampires are the Eastern European variety. Mm. And now you get these ones, and I remember saying
different.
Like,
yeah.
They're the same. The log line for this movie draws you in. It's like Peter Cushing and seven brothers travel to Asia to fight golden vampires. Like that sentence alone is like, hey.
Black belt versus black magic. Yeah. I mean, you know, and so it's like, all right. So based on, and again, you know, my estimation of the movie is based on, I've seen a lot of movies. And I've seen bad kung fu movies more, I guess, than I want to. I've seen average kung fu movies. I've seen bad horror movies. And I've seen.
And we've seen The Protector, too.
Yeah, right. I mean, but, you know, so it's like I'm a big fan of the Hammer stuff because I think the gothic stuff with me does go a long way. And I get more out of those than is probably there. I bitch about, I bitch about modern movies being the same thing over again. But it's like. And not that I watch the Hammer movies all the time, but it's like I appreciate like the old school, you know, we barely had any money and we, you know, did this thing for 20 fucking years. It was an institution, even though we were basically remaking the same thing until it fucking ran out of ideas and we had to send the guy to China. But
not even that.
Hey, man, everybody gets
it. Yeah. So I think it's still fun. It's fun to me, you know. The kung fu fights to me, it wasn't as long, I guess, as it was to you guys. Cause you know, you're like, it's been on for 25 minutes. And I'm like, no, it's been on for like an hour. We're coming into the, and I was like, right. I'm like, okay, I got the pace of it. And yeah, granted, I have seen it before, but it's been a while, but I'm like, I got the pace kind of, they're going to go into the main fight. There's been like three major, you know, to this movie anyway, martial arts battles, royales, where you have a bunch of people fighting. And that stuff is like, it's fun.
And you got hopping vampires. That's fun. And you got the crazy color thing, which I like. So, you know, that was like, what the weird? That's fun. It would have had more points if it actually had Dracula in it. But
Dracula doing kung fu.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, sold. Sold. Right. I'm sold on that. If right? you had had a kung fu Dracula.
Why didn't that
five
happen?
Stars.
That could have happened.
Even as Ka.
Yeah, as Ka.
He could have still done kung fu.
Why didn't he?
Then the audience would have accepted it. They'd be like, bullshit. He can look like him.
Right. I would have been like totally on board with that. If
he would have done kung fu as Dracula.
Yeah.
Five stars.
But we didn't get that. So it's kind of a mixed review for me. I think it's a fun movie, but you have to know who you are if you're going to like this. It's a Saturday night.
Freak show.
Bad movie night.
You don't show it. You freak show it.
That's right. Boom. So
that's good.
That's the Saturday Night Freak Show's Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. Next week, we're going to be watching, I want to say, Jenny is up next.
Yep.
And Jenny is going to be showing Triangle. And until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.
Never heard of that.